One of the prime weather and climate tracking centres here is at Monash University, where Dr. Ailey Gallant and Professor Christian Jacob do the physics and modelling. Dr. Jacob has just published a paper in the journal Nature on rainfall, that tricky problem.
So I'm a weather and climate modeller. So I work on the beautiful computer codes that predict the weather from days to weeks to seasons ahead, and are also very similar to the computer codes that predict climate centuries ahead. It's to me one of the unnoticed revolutions of science over the last 30 years that this happened, that we use computers, take the laws of physics, put them into mathematics, turn them into computer code and put them into the biggest computer we can find to make weather predictions. And very few people know that this is what's happening behind the weather forecasts they hear every morning on the ABC.
Isn't that interesting? Because many people, even those in the trade, don't understand how big the revolution's been.
Yes, it's been pretty massive. And unlike many other fields, these models are actually based on the laws of physics. So the weather is actually an output, not an input. We need to know the start of the weather. What's the weather like today so that we can predict its future? And then we go ahead and make a 10-day forecast. And amazingly, over the last 30 years, we are now able to use this technology to make 5 days predictions as good as 3-day predictions were 20 years ago.
What about climate change itself?
Well, the same kind of models I use that we use in weather and seasonal prediction are also used for climate. What changes is that more components of the system need to be considered. So to make a few days of weather prediction, we really only need to worry about the atmosphere. To make a forecast 6 months ahead, we need to include the ocean, because a lot of the predictability comes from the ocean. And then to do climate, we need to start including biological systems, the chemistry of the atmosphere, because that changes over timescales of centuries. So the models become bigger, more complex. One of the weaknesses in models remains the ability to predict rainfall. It's in part because it happens on such small scales. Most of the rainfall events we experience are very short-lived, and so that's very, very difficult to predict at all timescales. And one of the reasons for that is that these thunderstorms are very, very difficult to include in models. That's, in fact, my special area of research. That's what I'm actually working on, trying to make that better.
How do you explain the fact that so many people who are skeptical of climate change argue that models are newfangled nonsense when they don't actually know that maths, very simple arithmetic, is really a branch of mathematical modelling?
Yes, I think in part it's a result of the confusion how those models are built. A lot of models we use in society are statistical models, often very clever, that are then used to make predictions. And climate models are completely different. They are, in fact, expressions of the laws of physics on a computer. And the result of this expression is the climate. And the model actually simulates the climate without having known much of the data of the past. And we can learn what the models do well and what they don't do well. The other confusion arises, I think, from the fact that some of the things we can say about climate change, we can really say with much confidence, like if you increase the CO2 content of the atmosphere, the planet will warm. There's no doubt about it. But there's still a bit of uncertainty as to how much. That's a result of our models being imperfect. And just because they're imperfect and can't do certain things doesn't mean they can't do anything. So they are very good at predicting how the global temperature will change. But we still have difficulties, for instance, predicting how rainfall will change in a particular part of the world, in a very small region.
Your colleague is working on a follow-up to your work. Where are you doing this?
Basically, what I tend to work on is exactly the opposite end of what Christian does. So Christian is helping in model development and things like that. I tend to work more with model output and with observations to do exactly what he was talking about in terms of comparing observations to models to see where they do well, where they don't do well, particularly in relation to climatic extremes. So things like heat waves, droughts, things like that.
Yeah, plenty to work on these days.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's never a dull moment when it comes to climate extremes, that's for sure.
And how are the models worked out when you compare them to what actually happens?
Well, in terms of extremes, this is one of the tricky areas that Christian was talking about. And it really comes down to the fact that extremes are tricky beasts. They don't happen very often. They tend to occur, depending on the extreme, but on very, very small scales in space and in time. You know, a thunderstorm might be on the order of 10 kilometres wide. Our climate models at the moment only resolve things on the order of 100 kilometres. So we need to make estimations and assumptions on what happens on those smaller scales in the climate models and how that represents reality. And so it does get very, very tricky. Larger scale things like droughts, for example, which happen on longer time and space scales, supposedly would be easier to simulate. But when it comes to climate models, as soon as it includes circulation, so the circulation of air, the development of clouds, and of course clouds to rain, every time you add another process in, things just get very tricky.
What did you make of Vanuatu?
In terms of the cyclone Pam that hit Vanuatu, I mean, that was a devastating event. Hurricanes, unfortunately, are a part of the tropics. They happen every year in the tropics. This was a particularly devastating one. Had a long time to develop and turned into a Category 5, which is the most severe type of hurricane that we can get. And unfortunately, just happened to hit the islands bang on, direct targets. So these things happen on occasion, unfortunately. In terms of the connection to climate change, we really can't form any. Hurricanes happen. They happen every year, and it's very difficult to distinguish any signal if there is one.
So you're looking at the way extreme events happen without necessarily looking at anything inevitably predictive.
That's correct. And when we're talking about the predictive capacity of climate change in the future in terms of extreme events as well, we're not talking about specific events that happen on specific days. We're more getting an idea of how the statistics of these events will change. So the frequency of them in general, the intensity of them in general. And for some events, like hurricanes, the thing is that we still need to understand the mechanisms well, how they change with the climate, let alone how that might change in the future. These things are inherently complex.
By the way, do you go out into the field or do you stick next to your computer screen at Monash?
I certainly am an avid weather nerd. Do like to storm chase on occasion, but for my research I tend to stick inside, unfortunately.
Will the day come when you can predict these things?
Weather prediction at the moment is actually pretty good. You know, knowing exactly when and how strong a hurricane will be when it makes landfall on the Queensland coast 3 days in advance is actually not bad. We do a pretty good job of doing that, as was recently with Cyclone Nathan hitting the coast. Even Cyclone Pam was very well forecast a few days in advance. In terms of future predictive capacity for climate change, it depends the extent to which you want to predict. Climate models in the next 10 to 20 years, I don't think will ever get to a space where we have a very, very reduced amount of uncertainty where we can say this will happen or that will happen. We might be able to say with some confidence about the probability of X or Y happening, but I think that's about where we're going to get.
Even with the ocean heating up as it is?
Absolutely. I mean, the ocean is only one component. Local processes, global processes. How does the ocean then interact with the atmosphere? How does it act on the microphysical level right through to the global level? How does it change the circulation? We're still not 100% sure of some of these mechanisms. So we need to understand how the mechanisms work first before we can then make predictions.
Well, I was going to chime in. When it comes to looking at temperature-related events, heat waves, droughts, we have much higher confidence in predicting what might happen to those because we know the planet's going to warm and that warming will exacerbate any event that's already a heat event today. When it comes to events that have rainfall associated with them or tropical cyclones, the game's much harder. It's a much more difficult question. And I think we just need to learn two things. One is we need to learn that perfect prediction might not be something we should be striving for. We cannot remove the uncertainty, but we can quantify it. And improvements in our predictive ability should reflect themselves in a reduction in this uncertainty, not in an elimination. I think this goal of eliminating uncertainty is the wrong goal. I don't think that can be achieved. But reducing it, so the consequence of that is when we make decisions in society, we need to make them on uncertain information, based on risk-based assessment or other type of techniques that mathematicians are developing, lots of things in game theory, for instance, as to how one makes decisions given uncertain information. So I don't think it's such an alien concept. It's often portrayed as an alien concept when it comes to weather and climate. We just need to embrace the fact that these predictions have inherent uncertainties and we need to make our best effort of making good decisions given those probability of events happening that arise from those.
as we do if we think about it in every other field. Even death and taxes are uncertain now. Law, money, politics, weather and climate are much more solid. Dr. Ailie Gallant and Professor Christian Jakob at Monash.